That's the actual mic that I should be using for recording as opposed to the computer.
I hear like fuzz. I think it's okay.
I have fuzz.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
good luck, Tom.
I think you, I know. I just, whenever I think
sorry.
Of that, I picture like the magic wand tool in Photoshop, like highlighting all the fuzz and like deleting it. Is that weird?
I was thinking of, I don't know why, but like a fuzzy shirt.
That's pretty good.
That's where my mind's at.
Do you own a fuzzy shirt? Have you ever?
Not really anymore. There's no need for fuzzy shirts. I have fuzzy pants.
Really? What color are they?
They're pajama pants that my daughter bought me. They're Christmas Star Wars pajama pants.
What does she buy them with? Like, does she work?
She does babysitting. She's a hustler.
That's amazing. I love
it. Yeah.
That's so cool. Love those pants. You should wear them to work. We should have like a pajama pants day.
Ooh, that does sound fun.
Doesn't it? I think I might need to go back to my roots of student council president and like push for
pajama pant day.
And like ice cream, like free ice cream day, even though that's kind of every day here.
Ice cream sundae day.
Yeah. So I went to a Catholic school and we wore uniforms like forever. So as student council president, yeah. That's like your platform you run on is like more days where you don't have to wear your uniform.
It's a good platform to have.
It's really easy. That and free ice cream, of course. And
the
more.
The thing is now I would love to just have a uniform and not think about what I'm wearing every day. I don't know. There's something appealing about that.
I know. I miss
that. I guess
that.
That's why my uniform is kind of like just a t-shirt and jeans for most days.
I would love to just wear the same thing every day. I mean, like you could if you wear like a black or a white shirt. Like Jason in New York says that a lot. Like he's like, I have a uniform. I wear the same thing every day. And I'm like, I'm so jealous. Then again, I kind of wear the same thing like every few days. So whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I pretty much wear the same thing now that I think about it. It's jeans with, it's not black or white, but it's usually in the blue, green, purple range.
You are literally wearing that exact description
this
right
is,
now.
This is a bit outside of, it has pink in it, so and it's a button down, so it's outside of my normal.
Yeah, but the blue and the purple, yeah. It looks good. That's good. What are you up to? How's your day been? How's your week?
My day has already been hectic. My week has been crazy. How about you?
Same. Finished a project this week, wrapped up. It was about a 12-week project. So that was good. I had a chance to do some code cleanup, which was really nice. There was some bizarre padding issues that I was trying to tackle alignment of objects with a table that had a padding. So like the text was always out of line with like regular old pad. You know what I mean? Like it was always like 8 pixels off. It was like driving me nuts. Anyway, long story short, had some heads down time on that. And I feel like so good that that's done because
nice.
We're handing it off to their design team. So we want to make sure we like did some documentation. We want to make sure that everything is as clear as possible for when they take it over. So that felt really good. Have a half day today. I'm going to fly to Philly for a wedding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Philly's awesome.
Yeah. It's cool. We're actually going a little bit outside. We're going to Newark and then driving because like the place that we're going is about equidistant from Philly to Philly and Newark. So it was
so
better
you're not
to fly.
Going to Philly Central.
No. We're going outside, like New Hope, Pennsylvania.
I was
going
to give you all of these nice food recommendations, but...
Save it.
Never mind.
Save it. Yeah. No, we're not going to be in this actual city, just outside of it, so...
I started this week out on Monday giving a talk on design sprints.
Yeah, how was that?
I think it went well. But I think because of that, I've like slowly continued to lose my voice throughout the rest of the week. And so it's just gradually, I think, leaving me. And I'm hoping that I can just not talk all weekend and get away and hopefully recover.
Yeah.
But the funny thing, so I made a design sprint presentation. It's now been, I think it was dated at 2014. And it was hilarious because I was just like, I'll just throw in a bunch of random animated GIFs and do whatever. And I threw it into our Thoughtbot Dropbox. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to prepare for this, I was like, I'll just use that as a base. And I go in and a bunch of other people have taken that same animated GIF presentation, including Chad, and used it. And I was like, that's awesome. And I ended up like basically like forking it from Elena and Eric in Boston gave a presentation.
I did theirs. I did too. And they forked mine. So it's like crazy.
The circle's complete.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. I did the same thing for a thing, a talk here. I used that animated GIF presentation. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that that's permeated through ThoughtBot.
I like presentations that don't have a lot of words in the presentation. Like, I like, so that was good. It's just like a single word, and then most of the stuff is left for your show notes and, not show notes, oh my God, for your presentation notes, whatever. Or show notes. Or...
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I give the presentation, it's definitely
sure.
a show.
Do you charge, like, is there a drink minimum as well for your show?
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
No drink minimum. And they ordered pizza for this meetup.
Nice.
And I was very disappointed that it was Domino's. I was like, that's not pizza.
That's not. It's Domino's. It's not pizza. It's Domino's.
It's bread with some cheese on top.
We used to have that when I was in, you know, elementary school or whatever. We would go to my friend's house on Sunday and watch pay-per-view wrestling. And then
get your $5 Domino's pizza?
Yes. Domino's and wrestling. That's what we would do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can still taste it. I can. That's such a vivid memory, like being in her house and like eating that pizza. It's like really, really weird. But I don't really partake in the Domino's these days.
Yeah, I didn't partake in the Domino's just because I don't, maybe this is weird, maybe it's not, but I don't like eating before I talk in front of a group.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why,
yeah.
But like I'd rather go up sort of hungry and present than full or have some like eat right before.
Yeah.
So I waited till after, and by the time I was done, it was all gone, which I didn't really care because it was Domino's. But then the meetup just kept on going and going, and we had like networking afterwards and people wanted to talk. And I was like, oh, I forgot. I didn't eat dinner yet. And so it was.
Yeah. And then you start getting hungry. And then there's like a good excuse to be like, hold on a minute. I got to duck out and just put food in my pie hole.
Yeah. I can't think straight anymore because I don't have food in my belly.
Yeah. I had the same kind of thing before I would go on stage. Like I used to do improv when I was in New York, and I would never drink before. I would never really had a beer because people would do that. Like you have a beer beforehand, but I never did it because it would make me not really sharp, you know? So I would not do that before like playing a show. Like when I was in a couple of bands, we would get dinner, we'd like get pizza sometimes beforehand, and I would be all of us would be on stage looking at each other halfway through the set and being like, oh my God, I feel horrible. Like, I'm so full. Like, playing music and just like, my friend who was the lead singer, halfway through he'd look at me and be like, I think I'm going to throw up. I like ate so much food beforehand.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Always what I want to avoid.
Yeah.
The thing that I like to try to do that I wasn't able to do this time, but is you go for a run the morning
of. Yeah.
It helps me work out some of the nervous energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my animal brain or whatever part of me that wants to like, when I'm up in front of a bunch of people that wants to run and hide, is less vocal because it worked itself out through the run.
Totally. That's a really good way to get rid of that extra energy, like for sure. I always find the days when I start with a run, those are just so different than ones where I didn't, you know, just feel way more relaxed.
Yeah. I don't like working out in the morning usually. I like working out towards the end of the day, and I use it as like a decompression type thing. I found that like working out in the morning, I am like absolutely exhausted by like one. And I like either need to go take a nap or need to chug a ton of coffee.
Right. Interesting. That's so funny because I have the opposite effect. Like if I do it at night, then I can't sleep. Like I'm so jazzed, like so energized at like 7 or 8 p.m. that I can't wind down, you know, but just like design, I guess. I don't know.
I think running or exercise is important as a person to do better design.
I agree.
That's one of the things that I tell people during our design sprints, because those are really intense, is make sure you're taking care of your body while you're in those sprints. So like doing exercise either before or after, even if it's just for a walk.
Yeah.
I think that's especially important for like introverts to like go on a walk alone after or before. Make sure you're eating, like we provide food, and I always want to make sure that the food is like healthier food during the design sprint and healthier snacks, just because it keeps our energy up, as opposed to like what you were saying about the pizza is like if you're over full, you just want to just sit and curl up in a ball. And the last thing that I found that was really important was drinking a lot of water, making sure that we had water out for everyone and making sure that everyone was drinking water.
Mm-hmm. And like a light lunch too. Like the sprints where we've had salads during for the lunch break, people were felt way more energized after than the lunches where we had like Indian food or like something like heavy, you know, like rainy indoor food, you know. So that was always a very noticeable difference between people who crashed after people who didn't. And even so, like people drink a lot of coffee during sprints. You don't really need, like everyone has their own thing for sure. But there's this like, you go in expecting like, oh my God, I need like 8 cups of coffee for this thing. And I think sometimes people like psych themselves out. Like it is grueling for sure. But at the same time, it is just like a long conversation that you're having. It's not like we're putting a man on the moon and we need like a caffeine drip.
Coffee, since it's a stimulant, actually constricts your thinking. And so I've always, especially for our second phase or second day, the diverge phase where we're trying to come up with as many ideas as possible. I've always wanted to, instead of having people drink coffee during that morning, I've always wanted to get like just a big jug of mimosa.
Ooh.
Have people have mimosas, because alcohol has the opposite effect, right? Like the idea is that you would only have a little and not a lot, but like your inhibitions are restricted a little bit and therefore you're going to think a little more creatively.
Oh my God, I love that idea.
I just know that we'd have to have the right client for that, and I don't know if we'll ever have the right client for that.
You never know. I mean, we could put it in the contract, like, we will have mimosas on Tuesday morning.
Mimosas on the second day.
Yeah.
Of the sprint.
And on the second day, they had mimosas. On the fifth day, they rest and interview.
I just see it going like horribly wrong too, of like people having, because there's like a right balance of mimosa. It's probably like one or two for every person. And I just see it going bad.
Well, you just got to limit it. Just don't have more than a bottle of champagne on hand.
Just restrict people.
Yeah. Just like slap their hand away when they reach for another. We'll do like a breathalyzer, you know. Right before the activity.
That's built into the roles of the design sprint. You have the facilitator, the decider, the recorder, and the mimosa guarder.
The bartender.
Bartender.
I would definitely play bartender. I would love that. I'd be like, oh, would you like lime or lemon? Even though that doesn't involve, it's not involved in a mimosa, but it could be. Or like a Bloody Mary, like, you know, just a little bit of vodka. Just not a lot. Just a little
bit. Yeah,
That's dangerous.
That's where this could get.
That's where it goes.
Dangerous.
There it is. Found it. It's the other breakfast cocktail. That's a really good idea, though. I mean, that reminds me of those meetups and things, trying to do like drunk user testing. Do you know what I mean? Like those meetups, where everyone kind of just drinks and then shows each other their interfaces, as they say. And then you kind of like go through. But I feel like drunk user testing implies someone needs to be drunk. Like, it's not like buzzed. It's like, so that's, I don't know. That's a lot. It's a lot to, but I love the idea. I think that's kind of fun.
I know one of my roommates would do like a lot of drunk purchases on eBay. And I do wonder, like,
yeah,
this is years ago, but they would just like, yeah, at the end of their night, go on eBay and buy some things.
Oh my God.
I wonder if eBay or other, you know, retail stores do that and make sure that like it's super easy for people to buy things that are inebriated.
Imagine a CAPTCHA to test like your sobriety level before you purchase. I would kind of really love that. Like, you know, there's definitely been a time where, let's say I came home and after work drinks, so like, you know, maybe a couple of beers or whatever, I'm feeling loose and I'm feeling like I want some retail therapy. Like, for sure, I've ordered something on Amazon and then it shows up a couple. I just completely forgot I kind of did it. It was like such a quick, such a quick one-off random purchase that like a couple days later it shows up and I'm like, oh yeah, that's fun.
I mean, Amazon is built for that with their like one-click play.
Oh God,
they're doing the opposite of what you were thinking, which is like restricting their purchase power. While like that's the non-dark.
Totally. This reminds me. I was talking to someone about their kid and how she's only like maybe five, you know, four or five. So intuitive with the iPad. Like, they like kids, when they grab this thing, they know exactly what to do. It's like so crazy. And it's so weird because I used to think in terms of like design it as if like your 90-year-old grandmother is going to use it. But now I feel like design it as if your 4-year-old is going to be like swiping through. Do you find that with your kids? Like, are they're probably very tech savvy, right?
The way that a lot of apps are made, they're made so that they're tech savvy for kids. We only let them use certain apps because it's addictive. Like the way that they build kid apps, a lot of kid apps, is there's no like concrete start and end.
Interesting.
Even with video too. But like every app that's, I'm thinking specifically for video apps, like they don't have words on their UI, which is an interesting restriction because kids don't read, can't read yet. And so they do a lot of really interesting workarounds because of that. And it is a more intuitive interface in a lot of ways. I think kids in general are a lot more eager to try something and fail. So like tap around the screen on the iPad.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Yeah, there's no fear of breaking a thing because it's like not,
right.
There's no idea of that.
So I would say the opposite of someone who's a lot older is they probably have a lot of fear of breaking the thing. So they're a lot more hesitant. So you're dealing with different issues, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see how a lot of apps have gotten around like making sure that kids don't purchase a lot of random whatever on the app store. One of the apps is like a math equation. So you have to do like 7 + 3 and you have to punch in 10 in order to go to the app store to buy a thing.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, you know, there's also parental controls on the thing, but I wonder how quickly like my sons will get around that.
Yeah. I guess only time will tell. I guess you'll find out. Do they have phones? Like, what are you going to do about that?
My daughter has a phone who is almost 14. And I try to educate her about why it's bad to spend a lot of time on her phone. In the past, I'll randomly check in with her and see how much time she's spending. But a lot of it for her is educating her, like, this is the reason that it's bad. These are the reasons why social networks can be addictive and why you shouldn't be on them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For our sons, we just restrict how much screen time they have.
And again, like how old are your sons?
One of them is 2.5 and one of them is almost 5.
Okay.
So we restrict the time and we restrict the types of apps that they have on their iPad.
Mm-hmm. Do they share an iPad?
Right now they don't, because their lovely grandparents gave us their, they have like, one of them has my original iPad mini,
okay,
which is 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And another has another iPad mini that I think is about the same we're restricted just because of the technology. Like, I think one of them is at a point where we can't upgrade the iOS anymore.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just really old iPads that I had, or my parents had, or my wife's parents had.
That's interesting, because I always think about how that is such a different world now that kids are growing up in, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I got a smartphone when I was in my early 20s, like a smartphone, like when I was like 22, I think. And I got my first flip phone, cell phone, when I was a sophomore in high school. So I didn't have any of that, no cell phone or anything. And the environment that I grew up in, and you as well, right? In school, no one has a device. Like, what are you doing instead? You're drawing, you're doodling, you're writing notes to other people, you know? Like, that's your way of being distracted by just the people around you, not the people who are just in your phone off into a faraway, distant land. So I don't know. I always wonder about that for when, you know, like, we eventually have kids and talk about, like, technology and how to kind of introduce that in a healthy way. But also very well knowing that it is just a different landscape now. It's just different. Like, you also don't want to have this situation where you restrict your kids so much, but the other parents are not. And then they get into this weird mode where it's like, oh, you're a freak because you don't have a phone. Like, you know, like kids are the worst. So sometimes in that regard, in terms of like bullying and stuff. So I don't know. It's a lot.
That's why I try to teach my daughter, not just like, here's your limit,
yeah,
but like, this is why I think you should have around this amount of time on your phone per day or per week. And these are the apps that I would, like, I tell her, like, she's on Snapchat and Instagram, and those in particular, you could just spend hours and hours of time on those and YouTube, and be aware of how much time you're spending and why you're spending it, and make sure that it is valuable, just because, like, it's totally a different world. And it's really interesting to me, some of her classes actually need her to either have an iPhone or an iPad because they use software in the class.
Oh, sure.
And so if she gets in trouble for using her phone too much and we've taken away, she then has to go ask for a school iPad. But, like, they actually let kids bring out their phones for school, which is, like, mind-boggling to me. Just because there's so much else on the phone that they could easily get distracted.
Yeah. But maybe that is a learning opportunity.
I don't know. My guess is that it's not, that their teachers aren't teaching them that.
Mm.
She told me that a lot of kids that are in her school are using AirPods the same way I think some kids in my school used to use, like, earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier for them to hide the AirPods than the earbuds.
Oh, totally.
And so they just, like, I guess, sit in the back of class and hide just the fact that they're listening to music, which for me would have been, like, a CD player and earbuds, and you would have had to hide the entire cord either up your sleeve or up your back or whatever it was.
Yeah, and your fuzzy pants, fuzzy shirt.
My fuzzy pants. Now they got wireless things. Kids these days.
That's just really interesting, like, incorporating that now into their daily, like, diet. Again, I can't stress enough, I mean, technology didn't come into my classroom until I was in college, like halfway through college. We were actually started to be allowed to bring laptops in. And that was a mess. Like, no one was listening. Like, people were clearly not doing what they're supposed to be doing on their laptop. Like, taking notes, air quotes, you know, like heavy quotes, like taking notes. Like, you're not. You're on Facebook. I can see it. Yeah, I think about that when I watch, like, my nephew, who's now 5. I mean, they're just all over that iPad. It's like candy. It's like made for, especially like what you were just saying, those interfaces, no words, it's just touch, touch, touch. You can't break anything. It's fine. It's just like made for kids in that way. Like, literally, yeah. Those apps.
I assume that the designers had really good intent, but like they're made for kids to use and use and use and use. And it's kind of up to the parents to make sure that they stop. It's also up to the parents to make sure that they're installing the right kinds of apps. And yeah, there's definitely, my son asked for a bunch of kind of like junk. It's basically like junk TV, junk apps, just waste of time. But he'll love playing on it, and I know he will, and he'll play it forever if I would let him. So it's,
yeah,
it's a matter of A, not letting those kinds of things get on his iPad, and then B, making sure that the time he spent. The new iOS screen time, those controls, I haven't implemented them or, you know, installed them. And I don't know if I can actually install them on their iPads, because I don't know if I can install the latest iOS. But I'm looking forward to doing that for especially my daughter. As a more easily track time.
So it tracks, and also does it lock their screen at a certain point, or is it only tracking time?
Yeah, I've done it for myself so that it locks all of my apps right now, except for I use Headspace to meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between 10:30 at night and 7 in the morning. So I have to like explicitly say that I need to use an app other than Headspace if I want to use it after 10:30.
Cool.
You can do groups of apps, but it also gives you more insight into how many notifications you're getting, how much time you're spending on screen, which is really helpful.
That is really helpful. I guess, too, like likening it when I was growing up, I mean, to video games. I mean, I had that. I played video games all the time. And, you know, when I got a Game Boy, that was like, oh, my God, I could bring it in the car. Like, hell yes. Like... Yes, those car rides are so much better now because I have my Game Boy. But, I mean, that was also a limited device. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi at all anywhere, you know? So even though I was distracted, I was still pretty focused on this one thing, trying to get, you know.
And it's not like that a Game Boy, you can only play one game at a time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like there's... something if you want to play a different game, you have to do some physical activity to like take a cartridge out and put another cartridge in.
That's like,
as opposed to just like hitting a button and swiping
right.
And being like, okay.
Yeah, it's like a conscious decision, and you like burn like, I think you burn like 2 calories when you like I should log that in my fitness pal, like 30 minutes exercise, 30 seconds change cartridge of a game, 2 calories. Yeah, you're right. It was, and I had to be very explicit about what I brought with me on a trip. You know, I couldn't take everything, let's just say. So I had to be very like, make your choice. Same thing with like my Discman. Like you mentioned the CD player. God, we're so old. Like, what's happening right now? What is this? What is happening? This is like retro chat right now. Yeah, but it was also making a very deliberate choice about like, okay, well, what is the album I'm going to listen to today? And like the only thing I listen to today, because that's the only thing I can bring with me.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately because I've been running a lot more and just thinking about like, oh, what would I have done when I had my tape player? Mm. And like, I could only listen to one tape over and over and over again. I think I would have gone crazy. And then I remembered like, oh, I made like
mix CDs, this is stuff.
Mixed tapes. I used to record songs on the radio.
Me too. So
and there was an art to making sure that you got the full song.
God, yeah. I'd listen to the radio, Z100, what up? They would have their interactive 9 at 9. Every night at 9, and I knew what the songs were going to be, because usually, like, for every single night you listen, it's usually the same kind of bunch of songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would know when they'd be playing, like, Blink-182, and I would put my cassette all ready to go, and I'd have it. I'd have it with me forever. Yeah, I taped so much stuff off the radio. I loved the radio when I was younger. It was such a part of my life, too, because we would commute by car, you know, when I go to school in the morning. So it was like a little 10-minute radio, like, joke session with my mom. You know, like, we'd listen to the radio on the way in. And it's so funny because now I don't drive really that much. So I don't know anything about Top 40. Like, I don't know anything. I'm such a, like, I have no idea because I don't have the radio on, you know. My friends who do drive a lot, they know all these songs. And they're like, you don't know this song? I'm like, are you kidding me? No, I do not. Like, I don't drive right now. Like, I can drive, but it's not part of my daily commute, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool.
I don't know if we talked about design at all.
I don't know. It's all right. There's other... If you want a podcast about design, you can listen to our... last episode.
Lots of good advice of like you should work out and figure out when you like to work out and drink water and drink mimosas during design sprints.
Yes, that's the key takeaway. Have a bartender for day two of your design sprint.
You have your experts on day one.
Yep.
You have your bartender on day two.
Day three, your expert bartender, which is something entirely different. That's the converge day. So I think having, you know... I think that would be great. That'd be good. You know, I think you're right.
Having more coffee on Converge Day is probably a good idea because you are more focused.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a great idea, Kyle. I think we'll chat about it next week when we talk about interviews. Oh, God.
Add it to our interview process.
Yeah.
Done.
Done. Anyway, I gotta sign off here.
Yeah, I have an interview, and we're going to have a mimosa.
Awesome. You can find our show notes at tentative.fm/60.
60?
60.
We've done 60 of these?
Yep.
Wow. Where, if I wanted to get in touch with the hosts, the amazing hosts of this podcast, what would I do?
You'd email us at hosts@tentative.fm.
If I was a big fan of the Twitters and wanted to tweet out suggestions or congratulations or maybe other drink ideas for the design sprint, what would I do?
You would tweet at us at tentative.fm.
You would also have to travel back in time to 2017.
Yeah, our last tweet was from last year, which we're gonna change that this week, I think. Whatever, we'll figure it out. And then you can, if you like this podcast so damn much, you can rate us in iTunes. That'd be great. We'd love that. And email us, please. We love emails.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by ThoughtBot. We are experienced designers and developers who turn your idea into the right product. With local studios in Boston, San Francisco, New York, London, Austin, and Raleigh, let's build something great together.